Today's March 22nd. We're taping a special class on Parshanuta Mikra regarding the four sons. Okay, so shout out on my preaching for Haggadah. We'll be out next year. Mosaica Press, Feldheim Publishers. Thank you. Okay, so. All right, then the four sons are categorized improperly, says the Rosh Hashanah, because three of them, Hakam, Tam, Sheni, Delishol, if Tam means simple, are categorized by intelligence, whereas Rosh is categorized by morality. But if you can have a smart Rosh, you can have a wicked Hakam. Okay. What in the Hakam's questioning implies that he is morally just? Okay. He's smart, he knows how to categorize things, he knows how to make a taxonomy of mitzvahs that he sees before him. But how do I know that makes him moral? All right, so anyway, so the Vilna Gaon in Zagoda says that the tongue actually does not mean simple, it means pure, and therefore he is opposite the Rosh. He thinks that the tongue's question is the best question. Ma Zos, how wonderful is this? Look what's going on here tonight. It's not just Eidos Gugim Mishpatim, it's everything before me is amazing. Right? Therefore, the word ma is like ma nishtana halayalaza, because this night is so wonderfully different than every other night. I love it. I can't wait to do it again tomorrow night. Right? So there are a lot of documents not like that. Ma rabu ma secha modam kumak shvo secha. Right? Therefore, if we say that the tongue is pure, then I'm sure that Rashi's grandson named Yaakov Rabbeinu Tam, right, he did not think of himself as a simpleton. Or Yaakov Avinu, Tanakh, after he got his name. Yaakovich Tam, Yosheva Halim. The Targum is Gvar Shlim. He was pure, he was full, everything was complete. Right? So therefore, now we have a parallel structure. We have a Tam in the Rasha, and we have a Chacham in the Shinod Yalisha. You get it? Now, I must admit to you, before I go anywhere with this, that this does not conform, if you now please look at the page, open up to page 8, this does not conform to the Yerushalmi. Because if you look on page 8 of the Yerushalmi's designation, this appears not in the Talmud Bavli, it appears in Haggadah, of course, it appears in the Talmud Yerushalmi, page 8, please take a look, and it appears in the Mechilta. The Mechilta, as we are ready to do, this is the next lecture of this course, the Mechilta is the Medrash Halacha to Sefer Shmos. Right? The rabbis had to interpret text halachically, right? There was no Medrash Halacha to Bereishis because there's no Halacha. There's only a Medrash Haggadah in Bereishis. But Medrash Halacha to Shmos is called the Mechilta. Vayikra is called Sifra or Torah Kohanim. Dvarim is called, Amidbar Dvarim together is called Sifrei. Vayikra gets its own book because there are more mitzvahs in Vayikra than any other book of the Torah, and almost the same amount as all of Amidbar Dvarim together. Okay, so in the Yerushalmi, anyone get it yet? Mr. Antosovsky, what does the Yerushalmi call this Torah? Put it down until you find it. Right? Ben Chacham, Ben Rasha. Doesn't even call him Ben. Because the other kids are kids. The way the Yerushalmi characterizes the Tum, which again, I'm full disclosure, this does not fit what I just told you. It doesn't call him a Ben. Because every Ben, we hope, will grow up to change. But not a Tipesh. Tipesh at 8 is going to have an IQ of 50, and at 28 is going to have an IQ of 50. So they don't call him a Ben Tipesh. Right? What does Tipesh even mean? So the pasuk Tofash Kachilev. Tofash Kachilev. You are slow as dripping fat. Tofash means slow. Alright? So the Yerushalmi, by calling the tongue Ben Tipesh, right? Obviously it doesn't fit with what I was just saying about the tongue. Okay? What's fascinating, though, is the Talmud Yerushalmi's hope for this kid. Look at the answer the Talmud Yerushalmi gives to this Tipesh. Why isn't it? Just look at it. But what do you Yerushalmi? What does it look like? Come on, talk to me. Yerushalmi's answer to the Ben Tipesh, to the Tipesh. Why are you having trouble finding this? Tipesh malu omer mazos. Af at lamdo hilchos a pesach she'ein maftirin achar a pesach avikom. Why is anyone having trouble finding
this?
Okay, so what does that sound like? What does that answer sound like?
Kind of like a rabbi.
That's the Chochem's answer in Haggadah. Look across. Ma edus rabbi mishutim rashetuah shemotin wasdem. Av atzor mor lo kilchus a pesach ein maftirin achar pesach avikom. Right. Why is it? You really, you're not used to looking at text, that's the problem.
Is he explaining? Is he really just explaining?
The Haggadah is telling that this Tipesh can be taught. Everything a Chacham can be taught. Right? This is, there is a clearly scholarly discussion of which came first, the Yerushalmi or the Haggadah. Right? And I think it's totally... I can prove to you from what you have on this page that the Haggadah is well before the Yerushalmi. The Haggadah influences this Yerushalmi. Right? Look at the Chacham. I'm not there yet, but if you look at the Chacham's question in the Yerushalmi, and look at it for a second now and tell me that the Yerushalmi was influenced by the Haggadah. What does the Yerushalmi do? There's a little hint there. I put it, I think, in italics. What's the Chacham's question in the Yerushalmi? You have to look at the top. The Chacham comes first.
What are the things you're doing?
What did Yerushalmi do with the Chacham's question? And then you can see it's clearly influenced by the Haggadah. No, okay, according to this.
This is just a question that affected
the. Look at the last word in the Chacham's question.
Etchem to Otanu.
It changed Eschem to Osanu. Right? The word in the Pasuk is Eschem. Mechilta does the same. See, the Yerushalmi came out in the year 400. The Mechilta, however, is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Yishmael. Mechilta comes out at the year 100. This means, and you're only going to change Eschem to Osanu if... Why would anyone change the Chacham's question to, what are these, all these Eidos that God has commanded you? Why would anyone change that to that God commanded us?
Is there already doing that?
Because the Rasha in his question to Haggadah is considered evil because he says, Maha Vadazos Lachem, Lachem Velolo. Avatar Kadeshinov, Kafar Bikar. I mean, we make the worst thing out of this guy for saying you instead of us. Good Shabbos. The Chacham also says you. So what does Yerushalmi do? Oh, do a sex machina. Fix it. By doing what? Change the word. And the Korban Eidol, the Yerushalmi says, look how smart this kid is. He changed the word to Osanu. Doesn't mean the Haggadah, the Yerushalmi, and the Mechilta had a different version of this possible. No. Although, as full disclosure, remember we learned about the Septuagint, Talmud's translation? The Septuagint's version of this pasuk is Osanu. I have it in a footnote in this, right? The Septuagint, which means, in my opinion, and I think we can, you know, I can prove this to you with an hour-long lecture, the Septuagint, Yerushalmi, and Mechilta were all aware of the Haggadah. It's only in light of the Haggadah that they would think there's anything wrong with the Masoretic word Eschem to change to Osanu. All right? You know what I'm saying? Yes?
Doesn't really only make sense, though, to change the word, because in the Masoretic text, it says,
Eschem.
You should do Eschem. You should do that. But that's a command. It's commanding the people to do that. And then when the people receive the order, they say, we do that. That's common. That's just how people do things. I mean, maybe if I'm not saying it right.
I'm saying, I'm going to give a number of answers to this. Mm-hmm. And this may be close to one of them. But it's still, if Lochem is bad, why does this guy get a pass on Eschem? Right? He's smart, but he's also excluding himself. Right? Okay, I'll give you some really some. There's some of Farshim have come up with some ingenious answers to this problem. Okay. All right. So. But notice that the Haggadah, by giving the Yerushalmi, by giving this Ben Tipesh, the Chacham's answer, right? Yerushalmi is influenced by the Haggadah. It says, you know what? Even a Tipesh can be taught. But what kind of answer is this? What does it mean? Ein Maftir Nechar Pesach Avikom. There's no dessert after the Korban Pesach. Right? That's what Avikom means in Greek. Dessert. Afikuman. And Yom Tsei Mizeh, nothing. The last taste on your mouth is Korban Pesach. Right? Okay, I'm not going to... That's the last mission in Maseches Pesachim. Okay? The Ritva's version of this, I give this in here also, the Ritva's version of this answer is Af ato emor lo kol hilchos ha-pesach ad ein matir nakar pesach ha-pikom. What's the answer? Teach him Maseches Pesachim. Okay, got it? This answer actually, as a response to the child's question, right, is actually a better response to the Tom's Tipesh question than the Chacham's question. Because the Chacham's question that appears in Devarim Perek Vav Pasuk Chav isn't about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Open up the pasuk. It's about mitzvahs in general. And the answer is, oh, let me tell you why God gives us mitzvahs. Because Avodim Hayinu Lefarav Mitzrayim, the Yotzei Misham, and then he gave us it. But the kid's question had nothing to do with Pesach, or a Seder, or Matz and Maron, or climbing and dipping and things like that. How about the Tom's question? It's also not related to Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm sorry. Go look up at the pasuk. What is the kid asking? Mazos. I get the answer to that. It's also about Yetzias. It's about Pidyon HaBen. He's not asking about Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's Pidyon HaBen. Shneur de Elishol isn't asking at all. The only one of all four of these kids who's actually asking a question that's related to the Korban Pesach or Pesach, anything about Pesach, is the Rasha. Mama Avodah Hazos Lochem. The Avoda is about Pesach. Okay. Alright, just putting it out there that the Yerushalmi thinks every child can be taught Maseches Pesachim. So again, I have full disclosure, the Yerushalmi does not fit what the Gra says here. It's okay, the Haggadah does. Right? The Mechilta does. The Mechilta goes with Tom. Another full disclosure. The Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Mishnah Torah, and Rashi. Twice in his parish, the Parshas Bo, refers to this kid as a Tipesh. I would even say one step further. Who are these four kids? These four kids is every one of us in this room. Every one of us. Every Chafetz Chaim. Every Jew who has ever opened up a Haggadah is all four of these kids. Because we start off in life not knowing how to ask a question. And when we become toddlers, what are the two words we're always asking? Muzzles. Someone will say, this. We're very inquisitive. We're asking, what's this? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say that. What's that? What's this high chair? What's this? And they get to realize, oh, when I put on those shoes, I'm going to the park. So they'll, already at 1.5, they'll say, this? Meaning, I want to go to the park. I don't know how to say that. But I know that those shoes are associated with going to the park. Right? Okay. So muzzles. Third stage, I don't care who you are. Every single person who's ever lived, and the proof of it is that Adam and Chava ate from the tree. And God couldn't keep them from eating from the tree. Right? One day you're going to ask, how can I keep my kids from taking drugs? You know what? No, there's nothing you can keep your kids from taking drugs. The only person who can keep your kid from taking drugs is your kid. What you can do is raise them so that they will make the decision, because they're going, unless you keep them at home for the rest of their lives. So, everybody has a Rosh stage. I'm sorry, unless you're, I don't care who you are. Everybody has a mischievous, you know what I'm saying, a rebellious stage. Because Adam and Chava did, so everyone does. And then hopefully you become stage four and you become, right?
The first stage is when you can speak.
Oh yeah, you stand a daily show, then you're a Tom, then you're Rosh, then you're hopefully Adam. The Friedrich Rebbe, the next to last Lubavitcher Rebbe, said that the four sons actually represent four generations. Why is it the order Chacham Russia, Tom, Shinu, Delisho. The order of the Psukim in the Torah, right, are, get this, the order of the Psukim in the Torah is Russia, Tom, Shinu, Delisho, Chacham. Chacham is in Dvarim, the other three are in Bal. So why is this order? Why is this the order? So, by the way, everything I'm telling you now is only one approach. Everything I'm asking you has four approaches. Okay? The simplest shot of this order is the sophistication of their question. He's asking Eidos Hukim Mishpatim. He's asking Avoda. He's just saying Mazos. He's not asking at all. Right? It's more complicated than that. The Chacham is related to the Parsha right before. The Shinu Delisho is related to the Parsha right afterwards. Yochum Erish Chodesh, Talmud Lomar, Baburzel, Omar Ki Baburzel, V'shar Sheish Matzim Mor, Munachim Lifanecha. That's the answer we give the Shinu Delisho. Right? So, Chacham had to be first, Shinu Delisho had to be last, and then the other two in the middle are part of the order, Russia and Tom. Okay? Right? But anyway, so the Friedrich Rebbe said a beautiful word. He said the four generations represent the four. The four sons represent four generations that came to America. In 1880, everyone was a chacham. There was no reform movement per se of the Jews from Eastern Europe. They came here. They were all from. You see the pictures of them. They were all wearing mitzvahs out. They were all, you know, all had beards. They were all wearing sheitlach. They all had their hair covered, right? Very quickly, things started to unravel in America, right? A lot of them kept their tradition, but things started to unravel. The next generation knew better because they went to yeshiva as kids, and then he says that was the Russia generation. They raised kids in America in the 40s and the 50s. Yeah, gave them a little Hebrew school. The conservative movement in the early 50s came out with a fatwa that you shouldn't make yeshivas. Don't send your kids to yeshiva. We want to Americanize the kids. They must go to public school. And we'll move to the suburbs, we'll become wealthier, and we'll give a psak that you should drive to shul 50 miles away rather than spend Shabbos at home without going to shul. That was the unraveling of American Jewry. The next generation was Shinu Delisho. You think those parents sent their kids to Hebrew school? Of course not. The kids wouldn't know what an aleph looks like. All right? So the Friedrich Rebbe said there's a fifth generation, that's the fifth cup, is Bali Tshuva. All right? You get it, the first generation is Chacham, then Russia, then Tom, Shinu Delisho. And now the Shinu Delisho's kids are starting to come back. Right? It's a resurgence. Alright. Okay. I want to deal with this Lochem Eschem problem. First of all, can someone here in this room please articulate what is the Lochem Eschem problem? Just to make sure that you're with me. Someone please? Do I have to ask someone? Go ahead.
To you, like, what does this matter to you people? Like, you're moving yourself from it versus...
So the question I'm asking is, why does he get a pass? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, why does he get a pass, and the Chacham gets a pass, and the Russia, he gets just clobbered over this. Mm-hmm. Right? Look in the Haggadah, what's the Lashon of the Russia? It says, Russia maho meh maha v'daz os lachem. Go ahead, what's the Haggadah's comment to that? Okay, he should have said Mahavadazos Lon. Right? Ulufi.
Ulufi Shavatia as no mina cloud of Kafar Beitar.
Okay. Is that true? Someone who puts himself out of the cloud is a Kafar Beitar? What is Kafar Beitar mean? The heretic. Is that true? Someone doesn't want to be part of the cloud as a heretic. Where did you have a Gemara that says that? I have plenty of Gemaras that talk about only two things the Jew can do, where he's doing one thing and that's a kfir b'ikar. What are they? Avodah Zarah and Marichun Davov, open violation of Shabbos. That makes you a non-Jew. That makes you someone that you can charge interest. You don't have to return your lost article, you can't kosher them on Yom Tov. Rama Paskin's Dino Ka'akum Mechoda. Today there are Mam and Poskin who say that category does not exist anymore, but I'll tell you this. I wouldn't at my house have someone who's proudly, openly violating Shabbos who went to yeshiva and should know better, I wouldn't have that person touch my uncooked wine in my house. Right? Mishnah Berurah says that person makes yayin nesach. Okay? I wouldn't charge him interest because I'd be machmir on that side. Right? You know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't have him touch my uncooked wine. Rambam Paskins, he says, Dino Ta'akum. All right, but that's Shabbos, open up Avodah Zarah, open or close, Avodah Zarah is not enough to keep him. Shabbos is. If he discreetly violates Shabbos in his own home, that's different. Right? But he's an open violator of Shabbos, and he went to yeshiva and knew better? Right? So that's a kofar bikar. Where do we ever see that saying these four words, Ma'aba does dos lachem, is a kriya b'ikar? Right? We tell him, if you were in Egypt, you wouldn't have left. Dosen Vavirim and Korach left, but he wouldn't have? What is that? Maybe he wouldn't have put blood on the doorpost, but how do we know that? Okay. Any thoughts? So here, go look for Russia in there. So Chacham, you go to Russia. Not in the chart. In the section called Russia, I think it's like page 19, maybe 16 or 19. No, that's the introduction. Keep going, 16 or 19, I think. The Chacham, the Russia, right? Page 19. Okay. So on there. So at the bottom of the page, I start with five differences between the Russia and all the other kids. Right? For one, but this you have to see in the chart. By the other kids, there's a question, except for the Shin Elisha. Ki yisholcha bincha machor lemor. Go back, so keep your one finger on page 19, keep your other finger back on 8. Look at the questions. I'm being instructed here. You're giving me instruction. I find that you are having difficulty managing this chart, and you guys are probably the most intelligent people of my target audience for the psychology. What's going to be with someone who isn't in the midst of learning yeshiva? Right? Are you having difficulty navigating this chart? Maybe we have to underline everything. I'm just taking notes. I'm trying to perfect this. It's coming out next year. All right. Are you having trouble navigating this chart?
I'm going to get it in order.
What?
The Pesukim are in order.
Of course they're not. We just said that. What do you mean the Pesukim are in order? These are four different sources that list four boys.
Right.
So in the Torah, not in order. I just said that. That's the question. Why do we have the order of the four boys this way? No. The Chacham is first. That's in Dvarim.
Is there a translation to the chart, or no? It's just translation.
Yeah, that's probably what I need to do.
I mean, because my info is with the chart, I would just skip it.
Well, here's the thing: is that right? They're doing it. This was done in Rush.
No, it looked great.
But I think that maybe you need to see more clearly how the how each child has a new paragraph. Maybe they need to make more space. The thing is that the reason why there's no translation here is because everything is translated as we go on to explain the differences. But I guess, once you read everything and then go back to the chart, you probably read differently. But people are, I don't know if people put in that kind of effort. All right, okay. Anyway, but if you look at the questions of the sons who ask, the three of them, the Rasha, Chacham, and Tam, look at in the Pesukim what precedes their questions. And tell me a profound difference between the Rasha and the other two. Page 8. I'm just curious how long this is going to take you. So can you find it? Look what in the Psukim. Psukim has the whole background. Chacham Mahu Omer. That's the Haggadah. Now look at where it says Psukim Batorah. Okay?
This is the Chacham, this is the Rosh.
Now go to the Rosh. go to the tongue, and it's not jumping out at you to see the difference between. Correct. He's not asking. It doesn't say ki yishalcha. It says ki yomru aleichem. V'hayah ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. Why would that be? He said it's a question. Mahava dozos lechem is a question. So why not say like the other boys? Ki yishalmu aleichem b'neichem. Now, on the face of it, just reading Parshas Bo, none of the Mephoshim really point this out. It's only when you juxtapose them all together that there's something wrong here. This is a homiletic text, after all. I love it. It's a pedagogical text. There's nothing particularly rishis about saying Mahavadazos Lachem in its own context. But when you start to compare it to the others, there's also another grammatical point that differentiates the Rasha to all three of the others. Is that, look what grammatical point. Do you find it? Ki yishalcha bincha machor lemor. Ki yishalcha bincha. Vigala to le bincha bayom ahu lemor. V'hayu ki yimru aleichem b'neichem. What's the grammatical point that's different?
Aleichem is plural.
It's plural. This boy is plural. The others are singular. Maybe a message to parents. Don't bunch the kids together. Yaakov and Esav are two different kids. Don't treat them the same until they're vayigdilu when they are real. Right? If you look at the very beginning of this pamphlet, footnote, I believe it's footnote 12, I quote a very long Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. No, it's not footnote 12, it's footnote 6. No, sorry. It's right, it is 12. Footnote 12, there's a whole description of Shimshon Rafal Hirsch over how we should not treat any two sons exactly the same way, even if they're twins. How at 13 does this one go this way and this one go that way? It's a beautiful footnote. You have to read the whole thing. All right? Which is borne out of the fact that the Russia ends up being a Russia because he was just bunched with others. They put him in a box with everyone else and failed to recognize that this kid needs different treatment than everybody else. I tell a story in one of these footnotes about the Chazon Ish, who was asked a shaila by a Rebbe in Bnei Brak. He says, I have 200 kids in my yeshiva and we are able to do amazing things with them. These kids they're 12 years old, they're learning, they're finishing the sechtas, they're so amazing. These are the future rebbeim of Klal Yisrael. But there are two kids in the school that are so bad. They're slow, they're disruptive, they're problematic. He says, okay, do I have, I want to leave them sacked that I can expel them? Because I just don't have the resources for them. I don't know what to do with them. So Chaznish's answer purportedly was, doesn't appear any safer. It was a Rebbe who told me this. And he said, I don't get it. You have a school of 200 and you want to expel the only two who really need you? The others are going to be great without you or with someone else. Your job is to look after these two so they don't grow up to be Russians. Right? And if you expel them, the likelihood is more likely that they will. There are yeshivas all over Israel now for these guys who don't fit in boxes, especially in the Hasidic community. If you can't throw up our Paisvis, forget it. You're not going to get a shidduch. Right? And if you even dare suggest that you want to go to plumbing school or serve in the army, they will not let you go to your siblings' weddings. I know people like this. I know the organizations that are there to help those kind of things. Right? I've had them over my shoulder to speak and to tell them, and they have all of the pictures and proofs and everything. It's amazing, right? So the Haggadah is almost like how to create a Russia, or how not to create a Russia. And every little point in comparison is like a chapter in a book about raising children, because that's the pedagogical masterpiece that the Haggadah is. Okay. All right, so if you look at number 1 through 5, you'll see 5 differences between the Russia and all the others.
Do you only do this from the Russia? You do it every single time.
So that's to start with. to bolster my answer for why the Russia gets clobbered for Lochem, but the Chacham doesn't get clobbered for Eschem. But I have a better answer to that. Okay. How does he ulefi shehotzi et atzmo min haklal? Right? We say that by saying these words, ma ha'avoda hazos lochem. Lochem belolo, fisha, tziet atzmo min haklal, kofar v'ikar. Really? How is that a violation of Shabbos or Avodah Zarah? Right? Everybody else is leaving class to go in the Sameach Chosim Bekalov. I'm going to stay here. So you obviously go, Metziat Atzmo Min HaKlal. Everyone else is going out to do a mitzvah, and I want to stay behind. Am I a kofar b'ikar? Right? But not being part of a klal? Well, who says that? Right? So here is where my Haggadah often darshins. Atzmo, if you know enough Shas, Atzmo is a euphemism. Remember Tikkun Sofer? Atzmo is a euphemism in Shas for God. Whenever the Gemara talks about a few times, this Russia thought that he killed, but they don't want to say the words. Remember we talked about this? Rip your clothes! Narod blessed God! Take him out and stone him! That's a euphemism. You get it? They don't want to say the words cursed next to. Right? Eov says, maybe my children blessed God with their actions. I better bring a carbon for them. Okay? Birchas Hashem is how the Gemara refers to the Mekalel at the end of Vayikra. Right? So too, when Titus enters the Kodesh Kodesh, we say, Chashav Sheharag et Atzmo. Right? When he saw the blood coming out of the parochas that he stabbed. Right? You get it? How was he lefisha utziat atzmo min haklal? Where do we see that he kept God out of it? Of course, because only. But this is now another exegetical wonder of the Haggadah. I can give you some examples of this in Tanakh. There's nothing wrong with Cain bringing mipri ha'adama as a korban for God. Only when you juxtapose it to someone else. Who brings me b'choro t'tzono, possessive, u'mechel behen. This guy should have brought meracious pri'adama, which explains why God accepted this one, but not this one. On the face of this one alone, there's nothing wrong with it. Right? How does the Gemara know, for instance, that Chizkiyahu didn't sing praises when Yerushalayim was saved from the Assyrians? The Tanakh says everything a person did? How do we know he didn't sing Shira? Answer, because when he was told he's going to die, and then he prayed for more time, and Yeshayahu told him, God is giving you 15 more years to live, the Tanakh does say he sang Shira. He sang a bunch of psukim that look like Tehillim, praising God for the extra time. But when Yerushalayim was saved, the Tanakh is just says Yerushalayim was saved from the Assyrians, joint, next day. Right? That juxtaposition where here he sings praises, there it's empty, implies that he didn't adequately thank God for the salvation of Yerushalayim. You get it? I always use that drash around Yom Yerushalayim, Yom Atzmaut. Wherever you fall on the political spectrum, not to acknowledge that there's something amazing happened for the Jewish people with us being able to return to Israel. It's going to happen soon, for the first time, and not 2,000 years, but 2,500 years, where there are more Jews living in Israel than outside of Israel. The last time that was the case was not even Churban Beis HaMikdash. It was when Assyria scattered the 10 tribes in 722 BCE. Not 586. In 586, there were many more Jews outside of Israel than in Israel. Right? Okay, so to not acknowledge that means something, right, is tantamount to Chizkiyahu not singing Shira at the salvation of Yerushalayim. Okay, All right, so Lefisho Tzi, that small minakla. How do we know that the Russia kept God out of this? Because the Chacham says, look at his question. So we're willing to give the Chacham a pass because at least he said, the Lord our God. We're commanded. He just says, he doesn't say, Mahavad Azos. You get it? The Chacham at least says a word that has us in it. Hashem Elokeinu. Okay? You hear it? Plus, the Rasha calls what he sees. What does he call it? What does he call what he sees? Avodah, right? Now, on the face of it, there's really nothing wrong with calling Korban Pesach Avodah. It is called Avodah in the Torah. And the Rambam calls a section in the Mishnah Torah about the service in the Beis Hamikdash called Sefer Avodah. On the face of it, while I'm talking, look at what the Yerushalmi calls the Rosh's question. Look at the Yerushalmi, get to the top where it says Yerushalmi, look at the Rosh's question. What? Ma HaTorah Hazesh. Who was the Avodah? Were you Shami or the Russia? Where are you
looking? Yeah, first it's an Avodah, and then an Avodah.
Yeah, yeah. Right, but he's commenting on what he thinks the Avodah means. So would you give me a homiletic interpretation? What does Avodah mean to him?
Work.
What's the not more like labor, more like avodah means what's the service to you, right? I assure you that the Shmos interpretation for Hayaha Avodah Hazos Lachem Yamim Yamima, this avodah should be kept once a year, does not mean this labor should be kept once a year. It means this service should be kept once a year. You're an Eved Hashem, right? But to the Rosh's question, it homiletically interprets avodah as. Tircha. What's all this Tircha? Right? Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zal gave a beautiful interpretation of the Chacham's question, not on the problem of Lochem, which we haven't fully responded to yet, right? Not on Avodah, not on Vihayoki Omru Aleichem. He's not there to ask a question, he just wants to cause problems, right? He says that it's on the word hazos. Ma havadah hazos lochem. The trained ear has to hear this. Ma havadah hazos lochem. I can agree that we should be keeping some kind of memorial for what happened to us 3,000 years ago. But this? Eating the food they ate? Sitting around the table and telling stories? Nonsense! I'll tell you a much better way to do this. Now, you should know there are all these, especially in Israel, a whole kind of whole. Only about 3,000 Haggadahs that have ever been printed, right? But there's a whole genre of Haggadahs that came out of Israel in 48, and even from before, that co-opted the Haggadah's message, right? To a very secular, Avodim Hayinu and Auschwitz and Birkenau. Now we're coming to our with nothing to do with God. No brachas, no liturgies, no traditional liturgies, no mitzvahs. Right? Some of them have eaten bread in the Seder, right? But there's still a Haggadah. Some of these are very valuable, actually. Very hard to get now. Right? And now, everyone with a grievance has a Haggadah here in America. You can find them. You've seen them? Right? Okay, you use your imagination. Who has grievances today and they have Haggadah? Right? So they've changed everything. Dayenu is, if you had not given women rights to vote, and but you give this, Dayenu. If you're not given LGBTQ to you, this, that, and they go down the line. Right?
No way.
So that means Ma Havadah Hazos Lachem. I might agree that there's something to remembering that one man went out one day and saw a Hebrew being beaten, and no one thought there was anything unusual about that. And he said, "No, I'm not going to stand by while someone's being beaten." You say that everyone else says that that's common occurrence. It doesn't look like that to me. It's not business as usual for me. I'm going to step up and do something. So they co-opt that message to whatever it is, and make a new Haggadah, and say we want a new, every time a new. Which biblical character does this sound like? Is Aaron Lichtenstein. His father-in-law said, in a book called Reflections of the Rav, said that this is gufa mamish, the message of I want my own autonomy to determine how I do my mitzvahs and get close to God. So Moshe comes down so hard on him. And he picked just the right time when Moshe said, "You're all dying here in the desert if you're 20 and older." And this is when Korach decided this is a good time for me to get what I want. With him, you're dying here in the desert. With me, we're going to go right into the promised land. Right? I'm going to interpret the mitzvahs and tzitzis and mezuzahs and everything else, and I'm going to show you a better way. And Moshe says, "Are you sure? You sure you want to do this? You're not a Kohen. You sure you want to bring Torahs? You remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu? You sure?" Right? So Moshe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik explains, like Rav Aaron does, that sometimes this desire to be hazos, I want another way to interpret Tzias Mitzrayim, is more dangerous than the child who doesn't even show up to the Seder. You hear it? Yes?
You mentioned Nadav and Abihu, that it's similar but different in the way that Korach, he wanted another way to do the mitzvah, and Nadav and Abihu, they were using another way, but their intentions were different. Their intentions were
okay, in the Hanami.
No, I'm saying because...
They're similarly punished for veering off of Ezra. What is Zora? I always use that example when someone said, "Let's do it this way," because listen, Jews have been making strange fires, you get what I'm saying, since Nadav and Abihu, and they've never lasted. Go look at history. These strange fires don't last. The Karaites, a strange fire. What has to show you that these are not successful? And they're usually the ones with the money, with the media in their favor, right? It just doesn't last. You want to make a newfangled minion, and go ahead. But it's, I'm just saying, you know, how many great grandchildren, Jewish great grandchildren, does everyone adopt into that minion? This shot is going to happen, right? Okay, so that really is the crux of the Haggadah. The Haggadah is about one word, continuity. Making sure that these four boys have Jewish children who are going to ask the same questions. And how to turn a Russia, talk it into something else. How to evolve them, how to make them grow up differently. Okay? Now, let me tell you the Eschem and Lochem problem. And this is ingenious. This is David Zvi Hoffman. It's really quite amazing. It entails a type of parshanut known as, get this word, Sirus HaMikra. I'm going to give you an example of Sirus HaMikra. Actually, I touched upon this in the last class when we talked about Akkadian. All right? It says in the Torah, Shamor Eschodesh HaAviv. Anyone want to finish the puzzle for me? Ki B'chodesh HaAviv Hotziacha Hashem Alokecha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Next word is Laila. It's that word exactly as it appears. Observe this springtime festival, Frum's Pesach, obviously, because in the springtime God took you out of Egypt at night. So the Gemara in Brachos Daf Tes asks the obvious question: V'chima Laila Yitzonim Mitzrayim? We were supposed to stay locked up in our homes all night during Makas Bechoros. Don't leave your houses till the morning. I don't even want you looking outside at what's happening to the Bechoros. Ramban compares that to telling Lot and his wife not to look back at Sodom. I don't want you gloating over what's happening today. You stay in your house. This was a guarantee that the Jews after this revolution, that's what this is, it's a revolution, would not devolve into some of the pathologies that affected the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, the Arab Spring. What usually happens when an oppressed people, after hundreds of years, or even after scores of years, become freed from their oppression? What do they almost always do in history?
Oppress others.
They oppress not just others, but they certainly go after the people who oppress them. Right? Remember the Sabra Shatila refugee camps where the Christians just wiped out whole almost 1,000 Arabs because of all the oppression, and Israel is blamed for it. Right? 1980, famous case. Right? Because they had been oppressed for so long by the Muslims that they just went, once given their opportunity to wreak vengeance, they killed men, women, and children. Right? Of course, Israel was blamed. So think of the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution. They go after the people who were running the show in the past. You kill all the Romanovs and you kill, right? So the Torah says, I don't want you. In fact, I'm going to give you a command. Lo titaev mitzri, here are Yisabaris. Not even allowed to hate an Egyptian. I want them to start liking you because they're going to give you gifts. They're going to give you gifts that's going to make them chase after you afterwards. Because right? I have a plan for that, right? Because when did they give gifts? It says that they started to have chen for the Jews. It was through Machas Choshev. The Jews saw they didn't. They could have killed every one of them and actually fulfilled what that bill of goods they were sold originally that we want to take over the land. We could have during Machas Choshev. We could have dragged everybody to the Nile and take over the land. We didn't want to. We never wanted to. So they start, you know what? We were told lies about the Jews. Right? So this is Sirus HaMikdash. Let me just get this quickly. So it says, Shamoris Chodesh Aviv. A. Ki b'chodesh Aviv otziach Hashem Abim in Mitzrayim. B. Laila. C. We leave Egypt at night. We left in the morning. So why does it say we left Egypt at night? Remember Rashi's answer? The Gemara's answer? Since Paro let us go at night. So it's Ki'ilu. But the Pasuk doesn't mention Paro. I'm sorry. That's not a good answer. It's not a pshat answer, I should say. Sorry. Not a pshat, it's a drash. Sadi goes and says an interesting pshat. He says that Laila is actually the night of the 16th. We left Egypt the morning of the 15th, all day. By the time the last one got out of Egypt, this is actually the pshat of a pasuk in Bamidbar, Perkalamid Gibel. That by the time we left Egypt, it was nighttime. Okay, that's when we start counting the spheres. So we're fine. Good? So David Tzvi Hoffman says, and but it's not just that. Targum Yonasan says Laila goes here. Shamor is for the Shaviv Laila. The observance to remember the story of Egypt is to be done at night. Okay, Laila. Targum Yonasan translates, puts the word Laila. Sirus Hamikra. Sirus Hamikra means when you have a statement of A B C, you do A C B. Rashi interprets 50 psukim in the Torah this way. Okay, usually calls it Derech Katzar or Locus Seder, right? Okay? You see it? Remember what I did yesterday with Akkadian, is that this word means to tell stories. This pasuk, according to Targum Yonasan, therefore, is a better limud than what the Haggadah itself comes up with when it says, Yochel Erech Chodesh, Tamad Omar, V'gadot B'chah Bayom Ahu, Iba Yom Ahu, Yochel Miba'od Yom. Maybe we should tell the story of Egypt during the day. Tamad Omar, Bavur Zeh. What are you pointing out when you say Bavur Zeh? Lo Amar Bavur Zeh, Ela B'shor She'esh, Matzamor Munachim Lefanel. Matzamor is at night. Congress is at night. How do you know that the story to be told at night? You can't tell the story of Egypt during the day if you're eating Korban Pesach and Matzah at night. Right? Not that you have to know these three paragraphs in order to fulfill these three mitzvahs. No. You can fulfill matzah bite in your sleep. If someone forces matzah in your mouth, you can be yotzeh. You don't have to say, why am I eating this matzah to be yotzeh? It's the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So tell the story of Egypt at night. But the Haggadah didn't know Akkadian, so, okay. What are we doing with this, then? Let me just finish up. It says, Ki Yishocha Bincha Machor Lemor. His question, Ma Eidus Vachim Mishbitim Hashem Tzibah Hashem Eschem. Do what I just did. A. His question? C. Is a problem because the pasuk begins in singular and ends in plural. It's a problem that's going to be exacerbated by doing Siris HaMikra. But now, read the pasuk how I want to read it. When your sons ask you, Maha Eidos Hogim Bishavitzvah Hashem Elokeinu. Eschem is not part of the kid's question. That's a perfectly legitimate way. You see, the Rishalmi and the Mechilta and the Septuagint resolved this problem by changing this gear to 207. You see it? But says David Zvi Hoffman, he lived in the 19th century, although no one said this before him, that by just applying Siris HaMikra to this pasuk, we can just say that Eschem, make him a drosha. When you talk to this kid, his kid will ask you, get both parents involved. Not just the father, at the sachlo. Sometimes a mother has to get involved too. Eschem, in plural, I think we can make drashas about it. But the pasuk, like many psukim in Dvar, starts in singular and ends in plural. It happens a lot, especially in Parshas Veschanan. There's a drash, okay, fine. But by applying Siris HaMikra to this pasuk, the kid never said Eschem. So that's why, that's really why he can give him a pass. Right? Okay, just putting it out there. All right. Go read this, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. Read it before.